Well, I want to talk to you today about redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Ephesians 5:15. Let's turn there. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Let's skip back. I know some of you have scripture sheets, but we're just going to read back in verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Then he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." In the NIV it says, well, I took it out in the NIV. I had it in my notes, but I don't have it anymore. But it's similar. But I was going to read a couple of the words, what this means. Circumspectly is to walk cautiously, sensitively, as a person would walk through thorny terrain. So he says, when he says, see that you then walk circumspectly. He says, walk cautiously. And he's talking about us in this age. He just got done saying that we were children of darkness, but now we're children of light. We once were in the territory, in the kingdom of the enemy, Satan, who has bound all men. If they're not, everybody has a free pass to come before the throne of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, but not everybody's taking advantage of it. And if we haven't, people that haven't, they're bound by the enemy. So he says, you were once children of darkness, but now you're children of light. And he says, walk circumspectly, carefully, as we go through this earth, because we're still in a fallen world. People say, well, why does God let this happen? Or why does God let that happen? How could a good God ever let that child die? God's not doing it. The Bible says that the devil is the god of this world. He is the god of this world. Adam sinned and bowed his knee to Satan. And Adam had domain over all the earth. But he bowed his knee to Satan. So then Satan took over. And so Satan's got the world in a mess. People think, well, how could a good God have the world in such a mess? God is all powerful, but he is not manipulating everything like puppets on a string. We live in a fallen world. And so there are things that happen because there's an enemy. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, if we've been made children of light now, we don't have to be under his dominion. We're free. We're adopted into his kingdom. Now we can walk as children of light through this earth. So he's saying, as you walk through this earth, walk cautiously, walk carefully, walk like there's thorns around. Be careful how you walk through, because we are in a fallen world, but we have been redeemed through our God. And we've been made righteous, right standing with him. We're good with God. If we've accepted Jesus, we're okay with God. God's not mad at us. He's not looking down on us. But there are things in this world that we got to sidestep. And then when it says redeeming the time, so it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools or somebody without God, but as wise. Somebody that knows wisdom. What is somebody that's wise or has wisdom? They've been around. They've seen what they shouldn't do. You know, somebody asked, you know, this young man asked his grandfather, how did you get to where you are in life? You know, he is wealthy and successful. How'd you get to where you are? He said, good decisions, son, good decisions. He goes, but how'd you get the wisdom to make those good decisions? He said, bad decisions, son, bad decisions. We are walking through life and we have experiences, and we say, oh, I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to do that. It was a dumb thing. And then you gain wisdom. Well, we can gain wisdom through God's Word. And we don't have to make all the same mistakes, make bad decisions. We can look and make good decisions. So he says, don't walk as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. That's what I want to focus on. What does that mean? Redeeming the time. It means capitalizing on every appropriate opportunity. Capitalizing on every appropriate opportunity. Remember, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world. We are not citizens of earth. We're citizens of heaven. We're like strangers in this land. We're going to spend eternity with God Almighty. But we're here. Right now, we're here. Sometimes, maybe you don't want to be here. Sometimes you'd rather just, let's wrap it up. Let's go to heaven. All right? I'm done. Had enough. Had a hard week. I'd rather just, why are we here? Well, Jesus hadn't come back yet. We're here. And we got a job to do. And if we do, then we want to walk as wise, not as fools. And so we want to capitalize on every opportunity that we have. Live your life to the full. Live our life like we believe what we're talking about, that we are sons and daughters of the King of the universe, and that He has a good plan for us, that He has good things for us, regardless of what we've seen in our life, regardless of where we've been, regardless of the experiences that we've had, that we walk as if we believed what God said, that we believed that He has a good plan for us, that He has good in store. Let's turn over to Colossians 4. Colossians 4, verse 5. This is a parallel verse. It says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. The same phrase. But see, he kind of brings them both together. Walk in wisdom toward those that are outside. Why are we even here right now? Why don't we all just go to heaven? Because not everybody's going to heaven right now. You realize when we get out, who's going to tell them about Jesus? Who's going to preach to them? We are. That's why we're here. And you know, God's timing. I don't know all the ins and outs of why at this time we're still here, but God's will is being done and coming forth. And there will be a time, of course, each one of us only has a limited amount of time here, regardless of when Jesus comes back. The time's ticking. The minutes are ticking right now. Seconds are going right now off our life. We take it for granted. We woke up this morning. I woke up, the morning you came to church, saw the sun come out, took it for granted probably. But you realize seconds are going off your life right now. Right now as I'm talking, your life is continuing and you're getting closer to then. And tomorrow, same thing. We just can get to this idea that, well, we have all the time in the world, so many days, but it's passing. I don't know about you, but it's already June 2011. How fast? How do we say it every year? How fast has this year already gone? I was just, I had some pictures up on my screensaver. I set my screensaver, redid it, and just set it so that it just went through my pictures that were on my computer. I just switched computers. So, I have all these old pictures. And so I came in, set it so that it would just go through those pictures when it was the screensaver up. And I came in, and there's these pictures there of my children 5 years ago. My two oldest with their arm around each other. And I looked at them. Boy, they look different. They almost look like the younger ones. And I called my wife over and I said, I moved my mouse so the screensaver went away. So I actually pulled up the actual folder with those pictures in and looked at that time period and said, wow, look at them. They're older. Look at how much, and that's 5 years ago. Do you realize that was 5 years ago? Look at all the stuff that's changed. Look at that, looks like the younger one. Look at how they look different. But it doesn't, you live day to day. You don't notice that happening. You can't see it in your children. You can't see it in your face. But then you look at a picture of yourself 3 years ago or something, you're like, oh, no, different. 10 years ago, my goodness, I looked younger. And it just happens. Our days on this earth are limited. And each second counts, whether we're conscious of it or not. And it's easy to forget. And that doesn't mean we go into hyper-weird mode where we just, okay, I just got to micromanage every second because it matters. Well, no, we do what God has told us to do. It's to take a walk, keep your body in shape that day, you take a walk. We don't have to be stressing out. God would not have it that way. We just want to follow Him, but we do want to redeem the time. We do want to use it because we get one shot. We get one shot here on the earth, and then we're going to be in the bleachers in heaven, looking down. We're going to be cheering everybody else on if Jesus hadn't come back, but we're not going to be able to do anything about it. If you ever played sports, I remember when I, you know, played soccer. And, you know, they had the state tournament every year. We had a very good soccer program at the school I attended. So every year, we were at the soccer, the state soccer tournament, the team was, for years, 25 years in a row they were there. And they won several times. But you know, I remember, you know, so we'd go down and, of course, for years we'd play. Then we went on to college, but we would come back. You know, I went to college 50 minutes away, so we'd come back when that state soccer tournament would come on. We'd go and watch the younger guys. But, you know, we couldn't get out on the field. Our time was done. Didn't matter if we knew what to do. Oh, I wish I would have done that when I was playing. I wish I would have worked harder. Didn't matter. I'm on the sidelines. I'm a spectator. Doesn't matter if I'm 19 or if I'm 50. I'm not in high school anymore. I can't do it. Well, eventually, we're going to go on to be with Jesus. We're going to understand some stuff way more than we do now. Some things in our lives we may not know exactly why they happen. We may have blamed God for or something. Why did this happen? Why am I in this position? And maybe we just stall for a while and don't do anything. But we're going to realize when we get there, we're going to see so much more clearly. You know, I spoke on several weeks ago that we see as through a glass darkly, the Bible says. We don't see as we ought. We don't see perfectly, but we'll see a lot more clearly when we get to heaven. And we'll realize and we'll see things clearly. But while we're here, we use God's Word as our guide and follow Him and seek His will for our lives to the best of our ability. And He'll make sure we get to where we're supposed to be. He'll lead us. He'll guide us. He'll help us a little bit at a time. But we don't want to get to the end and say, oh, darn it, I know what I should have done. I wish I would have paid more attention. I wish I wouldn't have taken those things for granted. But we're on the sideline. We're not on the team anymore. I mean, we're with God. Thank God we're going to be rejoicing. We won't be sad about it. Don't get me wrong. The Bible says there's no tears in heaven. He'll wipe away every tear. We're not going to be sad. But you might look at it. It's not, you know, how that works, I don't know, because you're not going to be sad. But you might look at it and realize, I could have done it different. But right now, we're in the game. We're the ones that are players. We're the ones that have the opportunity. And so what Paul's saying is, don't let the opportunity pass you. Use it today. You know, seize the day. Even the world gets a hold of it. Even if the world, whatever you're living for in the world, you can use the day. But we're living for the King of the universe. The King of kings. People give their lives for all kinds of different purposes. Some good, some not so good. I mean, we have people that are willing to blow themselves up for a purpose because they believe in it. That's it's a wrong, it's evil, it's directed by the enemy himself, but they're willing to go to any length to do it. We serve the King of the universe. And we just want to use the time rightly. Let's turn over to Matthew 10. Let's see what Jesus said about subject, comment he made. Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 16. It says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Jesus is telling his disciples, look, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. We live in a fallen world. Not everybody's perfect. Things happen. And God's not stupid. He knows that. You know, we're not perfect. It's not like, hey, if everybody else would just get their act together, then it'd be wrong. No, if we showed up, you know, somebody said, well, there's no perfect church. I can't find a perfect church. Well, if you could find one, the minute you showed up, it wouldn't be perfect anymore. You know, we all have something that's wrong. We're not saying that everybody else should just get their act together. But Jesus said, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, what? Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I just got done saying that the world, The world, people that don't even know God, will go to any length for certain causes. They'll do what we're telling. They'll give their bodies. They'll give their time. They'll go after something with everything they have. And some Christians say, oh, well, God will do it all. I don't have to do anything. God will do it all. I'll just sit here. Let God do it. Well, God has made a way, and He will do the heavy lifting. We don't want to get it to where we think we have to do it all. That's imbalance, thinking it's all up to me. No, it's not. But on the other hand, it's not all up to God. He's not going to move my body. He's not going to move me. It's me working with Him and Him doing all the heavy lifting and Him getting the things done. That team, like Pastor Hagin always would say, the combination of the natural and the supernatural together combined makes an explosive force for God. It's when we give Him our time, we give Him our abilities, our thoughts, and say, Lord, what do You want me to do? God, what do You want me to do with my time? Here. May not be much, but here you go. What I have is Yours. What I have is Yours. Do with it what You will, Master. You know, we've heard the story. I don't have to turn over there, but, you know, of the little boy bringing his fishes and loaves to Jesus. You know, they had all these people. 4,000, in one case 5,000. Can't remember which one was the little boy, but, you know, he brings his, they don't have any food to feed all these people. He's got a few fishes and loaves, and they feed the multitude with that. In the hands of Jesus, God could do something. Jesus multiplied what looked like there's no way that could be enough. That's what He'll do in your life. You bring Him what you have. We bring Him what we have and say, God, now I don't know what You can do with me. I don't know what You could do with my abilities, but here you go. Here they are. You can have them. And He'll multiply them. He'll grow them. It's up to Him. It's not up to Him to do everything, but He'll make sure we get to where we're supposed to be if we're just yielding to Him and following Him. To be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, just to use the wisdom He's given us, not stick our head in the sand, not act like, you know, like nothing bad is ever going to happen, like nothing wrong. We're, you know, just close our eyes and act like we're not living in the world we are, because we are, but to trust Him, to give Him ourselves, give Him our time, and go on with Him, and just live redeeming the time. Let's turn over to Colossians 1. God is such a good God, and He has so much for each one of us, but it is so easy for us to go on autopilot and just to start coasting in life. We all know that, right? I mean, have you ever got up and made a resolution or something that you're going to go and it's going to be a different direction? Things are going to change. I'm going to start being more efficient. I'm going to be more organized. I'm going to be more scheduled. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to study more. I'm going to read the Bible more. I'm going to, whatever it is, going to be a better parent. But you know, you can start off well, but pretty soon it's easy to start coasting. And just letting stuff pass, and you don't even realize it. It sneaks up on us. We don't even realize that we're coasting, and we're not really living life anymore. We're just kind of watching it go by because that's our routine. Get up, do this. Okay, it's bedtime. Okay, set the alarm. What? I'm getting up again. And it's easy to get like that. And I'm not saying life isn't always just super exciting. Sometimes there's those days that you just glad you just get done and you're in bed and you go on to the next day. But God wants us to be conscious as much as we can, living for Him. Colossians 1, verse 9. He said, for this reason, this is Paul again, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We don't cease to pray for you, Paul says. What? What does he say? We don't cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. Because if you spend your life going in the wrong direction, or going in something that you're making headway, but it's going in the wrong direction. What have you really done at the end? We want His will. As we're redeeming the time, as we're using the time, there are all types of things that you could be very productive and use your time, and you're not doing the right thing. And then really, what have you got at the end of life? What we want to do is find out, what do you want me to do? And then go and redeem the time in that area. Use the opportunities in that area. Because as the old saying goes, it doesn't do any good to climb the ladder if you get to the top and it's the wrong ladder. Or it's the wrong building, I mean. You know, you spend all this time and you realize I'm not where I want to be. But you were real diligent, but you worked hard. We don't want to do that. We want His will. If we know God's will, I mean, you realize if you know what God wants you to do, you save so much time. So much time if you know where He wants you. Instead of just trying to find it yourself, going every which way, trying this alley and trying this. I mean, think about it. If you have a map to get somewhere, or you have GPS, it saves you a whole lot of time. And then whether you're just like going to try every avenue until you find it. You know, well, it's somewhere in, you know, Boston. And if you get an address from your friend, but you don't know where that is. How are you going to find it? Well, you can walk around Boston, go to this street, go to this street, go to this street, go to this street. You could spend days trying to find this address. But if you have a GPS that works or a map, you know, you can go right through and get right to where you need to be and save all that wasted time. But how many times we can get to where we disconnect and all of a sudden, yeah, we know that we're supposed to follow God and we know that we should look to Him, but really we're just kind of trying each alley and trying it out and just trying to find where we should go. And we're really not listening to Him. And we're really not looking because we've gotten just back into the rut of life. But that's why we want to go to Him. Like it says, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And I'll tell you what, God is not asking us. He is not a hard taskmaster. He is not one that's looking to say, all right, you get your act together, you start looking to me and find out what I want you to do, and then you work hard at it. It's not like that. That's not what I'm saying. If you're getting that connotation, that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm saying we should look to Him. As we look to Him, God loves it when we look to Him. If we'll look to Him, He'll guide us. He'll lead us as you would a child. He'll lead us. He'll guide us. He'll nudge us. But you know what? It's a lot easier to nudge somebody that's moving and get them in the right direction than it is when they're just stopped like this. I'm not going to do anything. Or you're stagnant. Now you got to get them moving and in the right direction. Whereas if I'm walking, to get me to go this way, you just kind of push and I'm, okay, I'm there. Or if I just got to go this way, I can get in the right place. And God wants more than we want for us to be in the right place. He doesn't have this as some big game. It's just some puppet show like some people think. Well, let's just see how they handle this. Well, let's see how they can do that. You know, let's see. Oh, well, they didn't do it right. Oh, well, you know, well, get up and try to get. No, He's not doing that. Things happen in this world that aren't always perfect, but He's always with us and He always is for us. Let's turn down to Psalm 139. Thank God. He has a plan for us. Good plans for us. Psalm 139:14. I've read this before. It's a good portion of Scripture. It's good just to meditate on. Think about. Psalm 139:14. Actually, we'll go to 13. For you formed me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. That's an awesome thought. To realize, like he says in verse 16, your eyes saw my substance. You saw me when I didn't exist, being yet unformed. And in your book, they were all written the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. God, before we ever existed, saw through time. And it says our days are in a book, written when there weren't, when we didn't exist. The days, our days on this earth were all written out for us. He knew us before we ever were formed. He saw you sitting here in this room on a Sunday morning, June 26, 2011, before you were ever born. He knows everything that's going on in your life right now better than you do. He knew you before you were ever conceived. And he has a solution for everything that we face right now. He's not taken off guard. He is not surprised. He saw it. He's already planned. He's already made a way. It's an awesome thought just to think about that, not just let it go, but, you know, later, when you're just quiet by yourself, just to think about that fact that that's true. That God Almighty saw ahead through time, saw us all the days that he had fashioned for us, and he has, it's good. God's not evil. It's a good thing. It's a good plan that he has. And he wants the best for us, and all he asks is that we'll just look to him. Look to him. Ask him. Use the time that we have. And just go forward with him. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and we'll close with this. Turn over to Jeremiah 29. It's a very familiar verse. Sometimes we can skip over the familiar stuff. It becomes so familiar that we don't even see it. We don't even really let it sink in because we've heard it. But let these things hit you. Let them sink in, even if you've heard it before. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. See, he's talking through the prophet Jeremiah to the Israelites that are captive. Their life doesn't look really good right now. But he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And if God's thoughts were that way to people that were his servants, that weren't redeemed, Jesus had not yet died, Jesus has died for us, and we've been redeemed, and we are now adopted in the family of the living God, how much more his thoughts towards you and I are good, and that he has a good plan. And it's just something, as we're walking out what I'm talking about today, as we're going about our day, and it's another day, and we wake up, and maybe it looks mundane, maybe it doesn't look any different, maybe it doesn't look like anything's changed, but if we can remember that God Almighty is looking at us, and he has good thoughts, and he has a good plan, and regardless of what it looks like, that he isn't the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, that that's the enemy, that we do live in a fallen world, but as we walk through it, we can be sure that he's walking with us and that he has a good plan and that he has good thoughts. And if that becomes not just something that we hear and let it go one in one ear and out the other, but we believe it, to know that the King of the universe does have a good plan and that he saw it before I ever stepped on this earth, and that it's still going now, and that he's seen everything that's around me years ago, millennia ago, and he's already got a way through to navigate the thorns, to navigate around. And that can, no matter where you are, that gets your mind back where it needs to be. And that's on Jesus. And that's on him. And not looking to ourselves to navigate everything and to find the map. No, our job is just to look at him and say, God, I don't understand everything. I don't know everything that's ahead of me, but I know you do. Lord, all I'm going to do is I'm going to use today the best I can to follow you, to look to you, to keep my eyes on you, to be strengthened by you, and you'll help me navigate this. I'll seek your will, and you'll bring me through these thorns. You'll bring me through this earth. You already know the way. You saw it years ago. You'll get me there, God. Hallelujah. You see, that's a world of difference. We don't have to walk through this earth completely dark as long as we can see Him. As long as we can walk with Him, He'll get us where we need to be. And it's good. Hallelujah.